there's a wave of end time, and I used to teach end times a lot before I realized I didn't know what I was talking about, and I've done whole series on revelations and end times and who the Antichrist might be, and I quit that, and but there's an end time move of darkness that's coming across America. And I'm trying not to preach this just to preach it. I'm really trying to preach it as something I see in the Spirit. When I traveled over to Germany to minister, I was kind of surprised with the weight of darkness that you had to fight through to preach, and the strength of who you were as a believer had to stand up every day. You know, I can't imagine living under that, what some of our brothers and sisters, as they stand for the gospel. And in America, we've been blessed in one sense to have a hope. How do I say this? Have a hope for liberty, a hope for blessings, a hope for strength, a hope for success. I remember hearing Pastor Dave preach one time about prosperity preachers that, you know, I'm glad it works in America, but if it doesn't work, if you're in the jungles of Africa, it's really not God, you know. And now I'm not preaching about the elections. I'm just preaching about what I'm sensing. And it's tied into the elections, but I'm not preaching about the elections. The American Christians have been able to enjoy a liberty and a freedom based on a prosperity of a country. And I believe it's allowed us to get lazy, if I can say it this way, or obnoxious in another way, in how great our faith is, and how much of abundance we can walk in, as talking about individuals. And really a lot of it has been reaped on the fruit of a nation and a fruit of a culture. I remember when I went to Haiti on a mission trip, we went there for 2 weeks to an orphanage and who preached and built a building and evangelized and helped out with the orphans. And I remember the poverty there and walking down the road and watching the kids. I was so amazed because the boys would hold each other's hands. And I thought, man, that's so weird. What's in there? But see, there's such a lack of fathering that the kids hold on to each other, have learned how to hold on to each other for support and strength. I remember being there, and I said, "Well, I thought there were monkeys." And they said, "Well, there's no monkeys around here because the people ate them all." And the poverty there from a nation that was handed over on a different road by men has taken them to a place of poverty. You know, men can be cruel, especially when the devil's tactics are behind them. And here's America, blessed in abundance. And I notice this hopelessness, this wave of hopelessness. And it's not just that's not a wave, it's an acceptance of hopelessness that seems to have swept across the nation. And I've been mulling it in my spirit, just rolling it over and asking the Lord about it. And I believe that part of this is the reality I hope I can say this right. The reality that God's all you have. The truth of fulfilling your calling, of walking in, I don't want to even say abundance, because, you know, abundance doesn't always mean money. You know, prosperity doesn't mean money. When you get older and your hair gets grayer, you start worrying about different things than money. You start looking at your family. You know, you never find someone on there in the hospital saying, man, I wish I made more money. You know, they're asking for their grandkids. They wish they lived life a little more and had more adventure. The world is built on a system of fear, of living for provision. You take a job you don't like so you can pay your bills. And, you know, I understand that's part of life when it comes to the world, but once you start to get hold of God, there should be a spark of adventure in you that says, you know, I don't have to stay in this world. I don't have to live by the rules of this world. Now, I'm not talking about presumption. Okay, presumption says, hallelujah, I don't have to do, I'm going to do what I want to do and think God will bless it. But there should be a venture sparked inside of us that says, I can follow God anywhere and He'll always provide for me as long as I'm in His will. There should be a spark of fearlessness that says no matter what the enemy throws against us, we will prosper and he will not prosper. That the word of God, the calling on my life will come to pass, will be, I will succeed. And you understand, my calling is to fulfill his will in my life and to make sure my family comes with me. You know, I love you, but you're not my responsibility unless the Lord told me to. But I do have a couple kids and a wife that I have put a commitment and a ring on her finger and birthed two kids that they are my responsibility. And I will see them in heaven. Thank you very much. There's an acceptance of a hopelessness that seems to have come on to America and that says, maybe it's a reality that some of what we maybe believed wasn't real. Because the way for us to fulfill our call will not be through a nation, through a culture. It's not limited by the country we live in. It's by the Father we serve. We're not of this world. Thank you very much. We're from another planet. The rules we live by are not of this world. But I'm afraid that some of the Christianity in America has intertwined American culture with Christianity in us. That's why some of the messages we preach here doesn't work in Haiti. Been believing for a new car, and they're believing for a little meal. I'm not trying to preach something that I'm thought of. I'm just trying to follow him, so you have to excuse me. This cloud isn't going to go away. This hopelessness acceptance is not going to change in America. Can I prophesy? America will not go back to 10 years ago, 20 years ago. You say, well, you're a Canadian. Get out of here. Maybe that's why I can preach it. I don't know. I lived in America almost as long as I did in Canada. I love America. Your fight is not to get America to go back so you'll be blessed and fulfill your call. This hopelessness that seems to be sitting is like it's like it moved over the pond and it's sitting on America now. We're experiencing, I believe, the darkness that's been sitting in other countries for a long time. It's not our job to remove the darkness before we can expect revival. It's our job to come shining through the darkness as individuals, as families, as a church, and to learn that this darkness, we have to rise up in it. We have to grab hold of the hope within us instead of the hope from without. We don't need to be listening to, we'll stop right there. The hope of the gospel is from within. The hope of the gospel is that by God we will finish our course. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. I had a friend one time, good friend. We kind of grown distant over the years, but he was a pastor. I think he still is pastoring. And he made a silly mistake in his finances. And he went to jail for a little bit. Lost most of his church. Lost all of his abundance, his house. And he came back and kept going. And I remember I sat down with him. I said, I need to ask you something. You were way up here. You had everything. You had your home, you had your family, you had a successful church, and you made a silly mistake. And it was more of a, it wasn't a, like he didn't embezzle money, he just was silly, he wasn't wise with how he handled it. And and I said, you lost your house, you and your wife at 50 years old had to move into your mom's house. Lost half your church members. I said, how do you do it? How do you keep going? He said, you just get up every day and you go to work. There's a part of this walk, see, that's not exciting. It's not entertaining. It's not made for that. You know, I used to believe, man, I can't wait till I get to preach. I'm called to preach, hallelujah. And I still love to preach. But when you preach 20 services in 10 days, sometimes you're like, man, I like to take a break. There's things in this walk that we just have to get up and go to work. It's what we do. We're here to change the world. We're not to save this world and make it better. We're to take the people from this world and save them from this world and bring them to another place. See. Oh, hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll start in verse 7. Do you look at things according to the outward appearance? If anyone is convinced in himself that he is Christ, let him again consider this in himself, that just as he is Christ, even so we are Christ. For even if I should boast somewhat more about our authority, which the Lord gave us for edification and not for your destruction, I shall not be ashamed, lest I seem to terrify you by letters. For his letters, they say, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. Let such a person consider this, that what we are in word by letters, when we are absent, we will also be indeed when we are present. For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves, but they measure themselves by themselves, and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. We, however, will not boast beyond measure, but within the limits of the sphere which God appointed us, a sphere which especially includes you. For we are not overextending ourselves, as though our authority did not extend to you, for it was to you that we came with the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things beyond measure, that is, in other man's labors, but having hope that as your faith is increased, we shall be greatly enlarged by you in our sphere. To preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's sphere of accomplishment. But he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. For not he who commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends. Now I'm trying to follow this direction here. You are being prepared for something. If you're listening to this message and you're attached to the person, or if you've invested in the prayer, you've invested into a path that something got you here. Either it was hunger for God or zeal for God or desperation or passion or however you stumbled across this path of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has taken you somewhere. I don't ever question my decisions, if I can say it that way. I can only be me. I can't be you. I can't be someone else. I can't please everyone. I can only be me. And I'm going to find God and follow God and grow in God. And I may make mistakes, but I can't question that, because I grow from my mistakes. However you got to this pathway, however it was, I received a CD by accident, or someone introduced me to the message, or I was hungry for real things. I got tired of dead religion. I got tired of dead works, or whatever it was that led you to this path of the Holy Spirit when you took his hand. And whether you prayed 1 hour a day or 1 hour a month, you still were producing a pathway of his will in front of you that was able to lead you. And as you and I followed it, he's been leading you. Don't question if you are failing. Don't ever question if you're failing. Don't ever question if you're failing. I haven't prayed enough. I'm not good enough. I haven't done enough. Maybe when I pray more, maybe when I give more, then God will use me. Honey, if you prayed an hour last month, you pray more than most pastors in America have in a lifetime. If you pray that much in the Holy Spirit. And I'm hoping to encourage you today that when you give your life to him and you submit your will to him, there's a part of you that will fight to hold on to this world, to the security that this world can bring you, to the hope that this world can give you. And in America, there's been a hope that has snuck into the church that says, you're going to succeed, you're going to make it, and we've mixed it with Christianity. And this hope of America, the hope of the world, is beginning to filter through your fingers. And there's a hopelessness that sits there. That says, well, maybe I won't make it. Maybe he won't be able to provide. Maybe I won't be able to succeed. Success is not measured by comparing ourselves one to another. Success is not measured. I remember when the recession first hit a few years ago. And I think I was preaching somewhere and I went to use their bathroom. And they had a whole stack of preachers' magazines, you know. Partnership magazines. So I was praying. While I was in the bathroom, I started to look through them because they're just sitting there, you know, reading material in the library. And every one of them said something about the recession. And I think I went through five of them, and every one of them had a comment about the recession. And they all were very similar, which said, if there's ever a time not to quit giving your finances, it's now. Now is the time you need to plant more seed to receive a bigger harvest. See? And what they should have said, because these are ministries. Now, I don't ever want to go into a place again of judging another man's ministry, because I watch God work through every, not every, but many men of God at different levels. But what they should have said was, if you made a commitment to us and recession has hit your home, I want to personally tell you I release you from that commitment until such time you hear God to come back to us. That's what they should have said. But when your finances are built on a American prosperity, and you say, look how God is blessing me, oh, I'm preaching. Ministry, whatever your calling is ministry. We don't compare. You know, we have our Pastor Dave. We have our Pastor Dave we all love, respect, and look up to. But there's only one Pastor Dave. I remember holding on to his testimony. I quit my job. And 3 months, a new van, and $716.23 check that I thought was $7. And I looked at it and I thought, I can handle 3 months. I can hold out for 3 months and get that big check. A new van. And I remember 1 month, no problem, I can do it. 2 months, yes. Here it comes. 3 months. 4 months. 5 months. You know, I'm still waiting. What God did with me was little tiny little things, because I'm different than Pastor Dave. There's only one Apostle Paul. But there was a Timothy who learned from Apostle Paul. There was a Mark. There was a Barnabas. There was many of them who learned under the apostles. Philip, Stephen. We're not to compare ourselves or our callings. Do you understand? Success is not the pulpit. Success is obeying God where you are today. God does not pay you to pray. He does not pay you to feed the poor. He does not pay you to go soul winning. He does not pay you to do these things. He only pays you to obey. If you obey him and he asks you to do these things, then he will take care of you because he asks you to do it. We're not to compare ourselves and where we're at. Oh man, you know, Pastor Dave, he was 30 years old when he went full time. I'm 25 right now. I'm going to do it now so I can beat him and have a testimony. I was 25 years old when I was full-time ministry. You may take till you're 40. The Apostle Paul, he worked a job and prayed and did his ministry. We're not to compare ourselves one to another. We're not to compare ourselves across the town at what church. Or you are called. Do you understand that? You are called. You have a place in the body of Christ. Well, I've just been praying and do my best to follow him and nothing's happening. What business is that is yours? It's not your life anyway. It's not your job to complain about where you are or where you're not. It's our job to obey. And if you've been praying in tongues and on this path, then you're further along than you know. This world is going to need a light to shine somewhere. A light that isn't lit with oil from Saudi Arabia or from the plains of America. It needs an oil that's from heaven. It needs a light that says, I have answers from you that aren't from this world. And you and I are the ones who are supposed to take that light. Verse 12 of chapter 10. We do not dare class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. We, however, will not boast beyond measure, but within the limits of the sphere which God appointed us, a sphere which especially includes you. You know that God has a place for you in that place of your calling. You'll have everything you need to do your job. There are graces, anointings, positions from heaven that are under the authority of heaven that will come when you're, I don't want to say promoted, but that's the right word, but it's not promoted like you finally succeeded. When your time is right and he puts you in a position, there's things from heaven that will give you the ability to do things. It's okay to let God lead you. This hopelessness, the church's job is not to remove the hopelessness. The world's going to get darker. I mean, we've known it. Sometimes we mix things up. Like I said, I used to teach a lot of end time stuff, and I pretty much quit that one when I realized I didn't know what I was talking about. I had a 20 tape series on Revelations. Abomination of Desolation, the red calf, and the temple being built, and lots of good information, but anyways. The one world government, the the economy is becoming tied in. All these things, we're getting glimpses of how it's going to happen. But he's not telling you that to be prepared, to stockpile food. I remember when Y2K came through, we had a tough time in our little church because we had a few people that became preachers because of Y2K. All of a sudden they had a message. If you don't know what Y2K is, that's when the year 2000 was going to click. And they started to say how planes were going to crash and all the computers were going to fail. And a lot of the end times guys were making big money on their tape series on Y2K. And I had one couple. They had, I remember I went to their house because they're a really sweet couple too. And I went to their house and they made the best cinnamon rolls. So I had talked them into teaching me their family secret of cinnamon rolls. So they put on a whole class for me. It took a whole afternoon. They went over to their house and as I went into their house, they had storages of water hidden and toilet paper stuffed under the couch and food storage in a secret shed out back and I just went for cinnamon rolls because they were good cinnamon. I still make them today. They're really good. And so they were teaching me how to mix the flours and how to do everything and the phone rang. And then it stopped. One ring. And then the woman said, "Honey, we have a hang up." He said, "Oh, okay." And they stopped everything. They washed their hands. They went around and they unplugged every phone in the house. And they looked at me and said, "You know, the government can call your phone. And if it rings one time, they can listen to the conversation that's going on in the house. And the only way to fix it is to unplug all of the phones." And I remember, because they're the sweetest people. And I said, "How secret is this recipe?" I mean, the government's calling our house to steal the recipe of the cinnamon rolls. Why else would they call the house? And I know how we can get caught up in things, you know, and Y2K, I remember, listen, it got so bad because it made preachers in churches and these guys were preaching. And the sweetest elderly couple, but they kept telling people, they grab them in between services and say, "You need to prepare. You need to prepare because the whole world's going to crash. You need to prepare." And they told me, "You need to prepare." I said, "I'm not preparing." They said, "Well, what are you going to do?" I said, "I'll just come to your house. If I'm wrong, I'll just come to your house, you know." And they said, "Well, I'm just telling you right now that everyone who's not preparing is not listening to the Lord." And I said, before I realized what I said, my Canadianness came out, and I said, "Well, maybe God is telling people who don't have faith to prepare. And he's telling people who have faith for God to provide not to prepare." And they looked at me and they said, "Oh, did you just tell me I don't have faith?" I said, "You just told me I'm not listening to God." You can get caught up because of a lazy faith. Oh, Lord, I don't know. That has allowed provision to come and security to come because of the country you live in. I'm not preaching just to you, because I've had this cloud hit me, and I've been wondering what is going on with what's going on with me. Have you experienced this? Listen, it's not just you. This is all over. And what God needs from us is to learn how to stand under that and rise up through it and above it and shine a light of it that says, it doesn't matter where you are, we have an answer from a different planet called heaven. for your miracle, for your finances. God is a provider no matter where you live, no matter what circumstances you're under. He has a right, God does, because if you're in His will, if you give your life to Him, that's a daily walk. But it's more than a daily walk. Let me rephrase that. Giving your life to God, I don't believe, is asking God every day, what do I do now? 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 What shoes do I wear? What shirt do I put on? Where do I eat? What do I eat? Those are things you can ask God, and I'm sure if you want, He'll answer. But those are things that you're free to. They won't hurt you if you eat at McDonald's. Well, maybe at McDonald's, but if you eat a salad at McDonald's or if you eat a salad at Arby's, it won't hurt you. It won't hurt which one you go to. Unless He gives you direction otherwise. But I believe that living for God is the decisions that we make to say on a regular basis that, God, I'm where You want me to be, and I'll do what You want me to do. If your life is in His hands, if you submitted your will to Him, then He has a right to do with you what He wants. Whenever we have financial squeezes, you know, it's in my home, I just say, well, you know, baby, God could call us to live in Africa. We can live in a hut. And I'd have to go hunt monkeys for dinner. I'd be praying for the monkey to show up. And my wife knows that I would go, and she would go with me. And so would my children, if that's where God told us to go. He has a right to do with you what He wants. And that doesn't always mean going ahead. Sometimes that means slowing down. It might even be preparing for a season when people are really going to need the right answers. Answers that come from a hope in Him. And not just come from there, but proven there. The end times is a season where the world will be in unity. There'll be wars, and then there'll be peace, and there'll be prosperity. Prosperity can bring a self-security, a self-humanistic answer. And if we just tag in the name of God to it, or we give 10% of it. I remember having dinner with a couple who were extremely wealthy, and they had just retired, but all of their wealth was tied into the stock market. And we were eating dinner. They were friends. They were passing through, and they wanted to have dinner with us. And I remember sitting across the table with them. Now, we're faith people, me and my wife, as I'm sure most of you are in here, and those who are listening. So sometimes when you're faith people, you wonder what works, you know. Is it? But we've, you know, in other words, what I'm trying to say is we didn't have a lot. But we were having dinner with them, and I was amazed at how shaken they were and how fearful they were. Here they are, and I know they still had a ton of money, but they were shaken. They were still shaken that we bought them dinner when they're the ones who invited us. I mean, their car was as much as my house. We bought them dinner. Because they were shaken. There's an anchor. Faith is an anchor. Hope is a anchor in Him that says, I can overcome everything. Say that with me. I can overcome everything. You're not here to fail. The days, can I prophesy again? The days of failing, testimonies are turning to a days of successful testimonies. I was given a couple paths to ministry. One of them was a lot easier and guaranteed pretty much a lot more. And the Holy Ghost didn't like that path. He took me down another path. I remember talking about finances, driving with my wife and Harrison in the back of the car. I don't think Ava was born yet. She might have been born. Little Ava, maybe. The car had a dent in it. I had to park it when I preached so they couldn't see the dent. Because some girl backed into me at a Quick Trip. I just finished a prayer time and I was kind of real sweet, and when she gave me her information, I just took it as being honest. And when I called the insurance, she had lied about everything. I said, I knew I should have called the cops, man. You know, this love stuff, I don't know about it, you know. And I was getting bitter because there was a family who had extremely a lot of money, who had a good relationship with me. And when we went full time into our own ministry, they had promised me. They spoke to me, shook my hand, and said, I had a relationship, and they shook my hand and said, we're going to support you every month. And I remember being so relieved, because we took a step of faith out of a ministry base, but I was receiving a check and a paycheck, and took a step out to follow God, and I had this rush of relief because they had promised me a whole bunch. I remember thinking, this faith stuff is great. Look, God's blessing us already. We just, 1 week, I step out in faith and I have a promise from people who, these people had so much money. They had their own jet. They had, and I swear on the Bible, I didn't solicit it. I wasn't after that. I didn't ever have a relationship with them before that. For that, and I was so blessed. And here it was, 2 years later, or maybe 3 years later, and I had not received a penny or a phone call after they shook my hand. And the amount they said they're going to support, said, our church is going to support you, we're going to support you, was way more than enough. And so it brought such a relief to me that, God's going to take care of us. And then some people who didn't like that we went full time got their noses in there, I guess, and made it not good for them to support us. And no one told us. So here I'm driving my beat up car. And I'm not a mechanic, so when I fix it, it's tied together with bale twine and duct tape. And I was getting bitter. How dare they? Here they are, men of God that I respected, promised me they're going to support me and my wife and my family, and just abandon me because how what a bunch of punks, what a bunch of failure of men of God are they to submit to someone else just out of political garbage. And I was getting bitter and bitter because I didn't have any money, you know. They caved in to pressure. And I remember the Lord spoke to me. He said, you know, sometimes he'll tap you on the shoulder to shut you up a little bit. Because when that hopelessness sits on you, that God won't be there. I was getting bitter because I had put my hope in man. Well, man will always fail you. I said, God tapped me on the shoulder. He said, he said, I'm the one who told them not to support you. What? What are you talking about? Isn't this a gospel of prosperity? Isn't this a gospel of having more and more and abundance upon abundance? And well, through those circumstances, God was more interested in me learning to trust Him and have my faith in Him as my provider than into people or ministry. See? He is everything to you. He wants to be everything to you. That's not something you can only say. It's something you and I have to live. The world will need preachers. Not just preachers behind a pulpit. They'll need messengers. Can I say it this way? The path that you and I are on is not producing a bunch of preachers. It's producing a bunch of messengers. A messenger, somewhere behind a pulpit, somewhere behind a desk, somewhere behind at work, somewhere nurses or whatever whatever God has you doing in your life, you're a messenger to people around you with a message of hope, a message of life. Says that in the last days will be in the days of Noah. Let's go to 2 Timothy. Chapter 3. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good. Now, I want to stop here for a second. I'm not preaching this because of the election. I'm preaching this because of the cloud of hopelessness that swept across our nation. It's not a cloud that's here for a week and then it's going to disappear after everything, all the emotions settle. It's a move of darkness. But it doesn't have to be a move of darkness into your life. It doesn't have to be a move of darkness or defeat into your home. It doesn't have to be wherever you live. Wherever you are, whatever you do, you have access to all of heaven and prosperity belongs to you. So does hope for your miracle. So does hope for your children. We need some seasoned ministers out there, messengers who've risen above this hopelessness and have a light that shines and answers. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Now look at verse 5. Having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, these are the ones, Jannes and Jambres are the one who produced snakes out of their rods when Moses was challenged. So do these who resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith. But they'll progress no further, for the folly will be manifest to all, and theirs also, as theirs also was. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions. Do you understand the way we walk through this? We just get up every day and go to work. Whatever the enemy throws against you, whatever the world throws against you, don't get discouraged. You can still get up and pray with hopelessness. You can still get up and serve God the way He's asked you to without liking it. You can still get up and do it because one day it will leave. Emotions lie to you all the time. They're not reality. It says that in the last days will be in the days of Noah. I think what we've maybe don't understand is how when the sons of God, the ones who follow God from Seth's lineage, mingled with the daughters of man from Cain's lineage, and what began to happen in the world wasn't just a world full of flesh. See, if you grabbed them, Noah would have said, "Hey, repent." And they would have said, "Well, why? We're worshiping God. We love God just as much as you do. We're worshiping Him." There is a move that is coming to the world where religion will mix in with the flesh, with humanism. And the argument will no longer be one of you need to serve God or serve the world. It'll be one of who's telling the truth. I can't tell you how excited I am to find out that I might be a messenger in the last days. Because there's a harvest that God's preparing. Like Pastor Dave says, it may not be the last days, but it's my last days. So I want to make it count. There's only one way for me, the way that I learn how to overcome this pressure, this darkness, is not to run from it, not to rebuke it. You know, I rebuke you. Not to curse it, but simply learn how to rise up through it and how to believe God no matter what the enemy brings. We have brothers out there right now who've lived their whole ministry life under conditions much worse that we're standing under. And they've had to learn to trust God for every ounce, not just of finances, not just of ministry, listen, of self-worth, of grace, of of they're all alone. And they're hungry for God. And you imagine, you know, I thank God for you. I get to come to the church where, you know, if you haven't prayed 10, 20 hours this week, you're an amateur. You go to most churches and you dare tell people you pray that much. They'll think there's something wrong with you. Or they'll think you're like a prophet. You pray that much? Pray for me. Let's not be discouraged. Let's get real. This is the walk we have. We have a walk that has to go through darkness. How wonderful. What rewards we'll receive for overcoming. Because there's rewards for overcoming the world. So much of the church in America the last 20 years has not overcome the world. They've embraced the world system. You and I are going to have an opportunity to overcome the world and still walk in the things of God because of our faith in Him and not in the faith of our surroundings. Amen. And it might be, it just might be, that He has chosen to season you, to prepare you to become a messenger in this season instead of in the last season. Why don't you stand with me? Father, we thank you that our lives are in your hands. And we yield our life to you. We'll go where you want us to go. We'll stay where you want us to stay. We'll do what you want us to do. Our life belongs to you. Thank you, Father. That you are preparing so many messengers whose season is about to come. Whose time is about to come, which will have the answers and the light and the path to take people no matter where they are and to help them to find their answers for their homes. We don't compare ourselves, not to one another, not in our callings, but you have messengers. Many messengers of hope from heaven, of victory from heaven, that are ready and preparing. We will not stop. We will not quit, Father. Our life belongs to you. And we have this hope that we're your children. And we're no longer of this world. But we're heirs of the kingdom of God. And all things, everything, that Jesus purchased, and all that heaven has, we have, because we're your children. You are our hope, our strength. You are all we need. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Just in your heart. I know we've all done this many times, but tonight there's a grace here, a strength to get up every day and to keep walking. Because with this cloud of hopelessness, it's a discouragement that it lies to you. It tells you you're not as strong as you think as you are. It tells you you're not as as successful as you are. It tells you you're not, you don't have as much faith as you actually have. It's a liar. This cloud brings an emotion that lies to us of hopelessness. And there's a grace here that will help us to overcome that little voice that says, maybe it won't work. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he won't be here tomorrow. That cloud of hopelessness. You don't need to rebuke it. You just walk through it. And there's a grace here to help us to walk through it. You have to walk through it so you can turn around and bring other people with you. But you have to go first. And you're the messenger. You're a messenger for a group of people. You are. And that's why you have to go first. So you can turn around and bring them with you. So Father, we receive the grace, your strength, to walk through everything the devil throws against us. We're not afraid of him. Because we have you. Thank you, Father. We gladly receive these assignments. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen.